Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Bonnie North. For the past few weeks, we've been airing interviews that I recorded in Brussels and Berlin. I was part of a journalist exchange program sponsored by the RIAS Berlin Commission and was able to interview a number of journalists and politicians during my time there.
However, our next guest is neither a politician nor a journalist. Peter Kuip is a historian. But in 1981, he was a prisoner in a Stasi prison in Dresden. He had tried to escape to the West and was caught in the attempt.
Today, Kuip lives in Berlin. He's finishing his dissertation, and he gives tours of the former Stasi prison, Berlin Hohenschönhausen. He agreed to share his experiences with me, and we met at the former Checkpoint Charlie, the infamous Cold War boundary between East and West, to talk.
I grew up in East Germany in the communist dictatorship. And I remember when I was 16, my parents applied for an exit visa. They wanted to leave the country because my parents actually came from West Germany. And my mother more or less felt imprisoned in East Germany. And she always, you know, considered finding a way to leave the country legally and at least safely. And when I was 16, they applied for this visa. And afterwards, I had to leave the school. I was restricted in opportunities. I couldn't take the job I wanted to do. I couldn't even do the sport I wanted to do any longer. So I was like, they treated me like an outcast. And after 6 years waiting for the permission to leave, 6 years, you know, I spent a life between hope, because I always hoped that one day it will work, and disappointment because it never worked. After 6 years, I tried to escape, and my plan was to escape from Hungary to Austria. There was the border between these two countries was the Iron Curtain, and a remarkable thing at this border was the river Danube. And I wanted to swim through the river from Hungary to Austria, and I hoped myself to succeed that way, so that I can get to Austria, and from Austria it would have been easy to move further on to West Germany. But I failed. So the Stasi, I was in the focus of the Stasi already when my parents applied for this exit visa, and they just waited that I leave my parents' house alone, and then they planned to find a reason to put me in prison. So they did in July 1981, when I was on my way to Czechoslovakia. From there I wanted to go to Hungary, and when I came into Czechoslovakia, they controlled everything. They found the little binocula, and they found the compass, and no reasons enough to send me to prison. And they brought me to Dresden, to the Stasi Remand prison, and I spent almost 3 months in solitary confinement.
It is almost hard for us in the United States to understand that a country would want to keep its people in so badly that they would take a teenager and put him in solitary confinement because he wanted to go somewhere.
Yeah.
How do you explain that to Westerners that come and take your tours? I mean, are they just shocked?
Yeah. First of all, I was a teenager when my parents applied for the exit visa. 6 years later, I was 22. It is difficult to explain. I mean, first of all, you have to know that it was a dictatorship, and in a dictatorship, you have to accept restricted, opportunities to make a living. I mean, it was illegal to leave the country. According to the propaganda, the wall in Berlin and the border between the two German states was a protection measurement to protect us from the class enemy and so on. Of course, the border and the wall was there to, that we can't escape from the country. You know, many East Germans wanted to escape from the dictatorship, from the fact that you couldn't talk freely, you couldn't criticize the government, you couldn't travel, you couldn't get information from first hand, you just had propaganda newspapers, nothing else. And everybody who was fed up with this situation tried to move to West Germany, because it was the thing that West Germany accepted you as a West German citizen. As soon as you arrived West Germany, you were not a refugee, or you were not a no need to apply for asyl status or something. You were West German citizen, and it was that easy. You just had to make your way across the border, and many people tried this, but again, it was illegal, and the law was that people who mislead the law, that they have to go to prison.
There's a lot of change going on in the reunified Germany, about to celebrate 30 years of reunification.
Yeah.
And there are people in the south who want to, I hear noise about building a new wall, of walling off again. And what does that make you think? You tried so hard to escape. You went to prison to get out.
That's right. Are you talking about America or Germany to build up a new wall?
Germany first and then America.
Yes. Well, it is absolutely not understandable that people, you know, want to build up any sort of wall. It doesn't matter if it's in Europe or in the US, because from my perspective and from my experiences, people will try to cross any kind of border, however it is, you know, built, even if it's built like a fortress. And especially in Germany, with our past, with our history, to suggest, you know, seriously this kind of measurements, this is stupid. And I ask myself, for what? I mean, the world at the moment is a very crazy place, and we in the Western world, we are also responsible for the situation how it is at the moment. We can't say that something happens, you know, far away, and we are completely, you know, we have nothing to do with this. This is a lie, and so we have to accept that people, you know, try to find a place where they can make a better living, and so better we open up our mind and we give our hands to help. And of course it has to be done in an order, in law order and everything else, of course. But first of all, we have to help, and we have responsibility. And for that reason, you know, what does it help? I mean, a wall just is not a solution for a problem. It's just an architectural, you know, thing of problem. It shows the problem, but it's not a solution. And for that reason, we need to find another way.
Does it scare you that so many people want to do that kind of wall building again?
I can't think that it scares me. It's more, I ask myself, haven't they learned from history? That's my question. And obviously not. So I just ask myself if it's possible to educate people. And again, obviously not. And, you know, the protectionism, which is quite common at the moment, it's not helpful. We have to face up the problems in the world, and we have to deal with them to build a wall and to make us living on an island or on a tower or whatever. Is this the world we want to live in? That's my question.
You give the tours at the former Stasi prison here in Berlin, and is teaching people why you do that? I can't imagine that's easy for you to go in, even though that wasn't your prison. It was one very like the one you were in.
Yes. Well, actually, to make these tours, to talk with people, to inform them about my experiences, to inform them about the, you know, the dictatorship in East Germany and what communism was able to create with people, and still creating if you look to North Korea. So it actually sort of helps me. I mean, there are some days, you know, I have my problems, and it's not that easy to get through this. But mainly it helps, especially if the visitors are interested in, and if I think they get what it's all about, and they get why we have to care about the democracy in our world. And actually, I appreciate that I have the opportunity to inform people that way. And also, it's sometimes not that easy.
I know when I went through it with you, I felt bad energy in that space. It was very hard to describe, but it just felt wrong.
Yes, I share this experience. So, yeah, bad energy. The smell, for instance, the smell reminds me pretty much on former East Germany. So you had the smell in every official building, like a civic center or a hospital or school or something like this. So this is pretty much the smell of East Germany. And anything else, the tristness, the you know, the colorless environment, and that's what East Germany looked like. And you know that. The fact that it has been just 28 years or 29 years ago that all was still available and working. So yeah, that's right, bad energy, but we can leave this building. We can leave this building and we can leave it behind us. And on the other hand, it's good that it still exists as a memorial, because that let people feel many things about the dictatorship. And actually communism wanted to be the most social and the most fair society in the world, and then it created something like this just against people who criticized the condition. And many of them didn't tend to completely roll back the thing. They just wanted to impulse little improvements, and even them disappeared. So everybody who was sort of critical or had other ideas or wanted to apply for changes ended up in such a prison. And that shows so much about how strange they misleaded the idea of communism.
What do your children think? Do you take them?
I guess so. I mean, it is difficult. I mean, in the memorial, mainly teenager come, and the teenage age is a bit problematic, and not everybody is able to get what's. But I sometimes have groups with teenagers, and when they arrive, they are quite outrageous and quite. They're making fun and thing. But then they get calm, they calm down, they get more quiet, they start thinking. And sometimes even if the group is completely outrageous, but then sometimes I really wonder that they, change during the tour. And actually, I never experienced a group which didn't show respect or which we're completely uninterested in everything. So the change, of them is quite remarkable.
And like you said, it's important to tell the younger people what happened.
Yeah, sure. Especially younger people, especially people who, were born in the democracy and they could have the imagination, the idea that democracy is just always available and it's always there. But we, as adults and educated and informed people, we know that it can change if you look around in the world. So there are many countries. Maybe the most remarkable example is Turkey. I mean, it was a quite liberal democracy, and also the religion was nothing you saw or realized in first place. So. Turkey always showed, I had always the impression that's an open country. And what a change! What a change for the free speech, for the free press, and for the people there. And even young people has to know this kind of changes are possible. Even in more solid democracies like Italy or in northern countries, there are changes. And If people don't want to risk that the democracy is just leaves or disappears, they have to do something. And this is my appeal to them.
We're sitting here right near Checkpoint Charlie, which was probably the most visible,
the most spot of the division.
Spot of the division, yeah. And you and I both first saw this. Yeah. In 1982,
right.
On opposite sides,
yes,
of
right.
The wall.
Yes.
What do you think of when you see it now?
Well, it is like on every spot, you know, not just Checkpoint Charlie, also the Brandenburg Gate or the Bahnhof Friedrichstraße or what else, the Bernauer Street. And so, you know, to walk from east to west and from west to east that easy, that it's like a miracle for me still, even after 28 years. And when I get melancholic or emotional in this moment, then I look around and people are literally celebrating things. They make fun and they are in a good mood. I mean, it's their right, and it's actually it's very good. But I ask myself if they realize, you know, what 28 or 29 years ago at this place has happened. You know, being at this place meant 29 years ago they would have shot to death if they would have, you know, made their way to this place. And I look around sometimes, appreciate that young people walking around with their parents or with maybe teachers or groups, obviously they are on the, you know, they research about the past and they are talking about this issue. But on the other hand, many other people, I guess, don't even realize, you know, what happened there. And that sometimes makes me not sad, but I think it was our status quo when we were a teenager. And now, actually, if you look back 29 years ago when the wall came down in Berlin, it all changed from one day to the other. Yesterday, you risked to be shot to death, and the next day, you can walk through. And this is history, and this is, you know, we all, sometimes I feel like a puppy in a play, in a theater play, or in a playground, or whatever. So, but it is how it is. I mean, to be sad, what does, doesn't it up? You have to accept.
Well, I am glad that you and I were able to sit on this side of the wall, and or what was the wall, and have this conversation. Peter Kolb, it has been such an honor to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It was a huge pleasure for me. Thanks.
Peter Kolb is a German historian and former prisoner of the East German state. He spoke with us at the former Checkpoint Charlie in Berlin.
You can find all of my RIAS Commission interviews from Brussels and Berlin at wuwm.com.